Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you today. I hope you had a great week. I know last Sunday was a great day in most churches. Everybody that I've heard had a great crowd. People came out, and it's strange how they always come out for Easter in it. But we had a great day at our church. We only had one service, and I tell you, we had a room full of people, and it was great to see so many families together, so many visitors that were there, and all those beautiful Easter colors of pink and blue and yellow. Everybody was decked out, and I tell you, just a great day. We had a wonderful time with our family. We had 33 people we fed that on Easter Day, and just had a wonderful time celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. So we hope you as well had a great Easter, and it's good to be back with you this morning. We pray for you today that if you're sick and not able to get to church this morning, maybe you're shut in, not able to go, we're glad that you're able to listen with us today, and we pray God will heal you. We pray for those that may be traveling for whatever reasons, may be listening in the car this morning, that God will speak to you wherever you're at. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that no matter where we're headed, where we're at, God's Holy Spirit can move and God's Holy Spirit can cross any barriers that we may have, no matter how far we are apart, just that we can worship together in the Word of God. And so that's what we want to do this morning. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to begin with verse 36, and we're going to read down through verse 48 as we think about this morning, Jesus after the resurrection. Jesus after the resurrection. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity once again to be able to come and to share your word over this radio station. We thank you for those that listen so faithfully every week, Lord, that are hindered in whatever reason that can't make it to their church. We thank you for those that may be traveling today or may be out of church for whatever reason. So, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, that, Lord, that we will see the resurrected Jesus in a new light today. I pray for myself that, Lord, that you forgive me of my sins and remove anything from my heart or my mind this morning that would stand between me and you, that, Lord, that I will be a vessel that you can use, that you'll speak through me your words, Lord. It'll never be mine, but it'll be yours. As we read your word, that it becomes alive and real unto us. Open our understandings. Help us to see what you'd have us to see today. We pray for those that are sick. We ask you, Lord, to just heal them, that they can soon be back in your church, Lord. We pray for those that may be traveling, that you give them a safe journey to and from, Lord, today. But we pray especially if there's one lost this morning that is listening to this message, that, Lord, it will lift Jesus up in a way that they can come to know him. Bind Satan from this in every way. Don't let him steal from us what you have for us today, as we give you the honor and the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious and holy and living name, we do pray. Amen. All right. We said we're in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to begin with verse 36 and read down through verse 48 as we think about Jesus after the resurrection. And it says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they that were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Then he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet believed not, for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he saith unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You know, this morning as we think about the resurrected Savior, you know, I always like to kind of follow up after we get through with Easter and we talk about Jesus coming forth out of that grave. And as we looked at last week, does our life reflect that? Do we reflect that we really believe that Jesus is alive and well? Well, I really like to look at what he did and what he said after his resurrection. You know, it's wonderful to look at all the words and all the things that led up to his death and burial and even his resurrection. We like to preach those messages about the seven sayings of the cross. But really what I like to look at is what he had to say after his resurrection. Because see, that's what makes all the difference in the world, is after the resurrection. If we don't understand the Jesus that is after the resurrection, then Jesus that died, the Jesus that was born of a virgin, Jesus that died on a cross, Jesus that came forth out of that tomb, it really doesn't make any sense until we really see the resurrected Lord. You really have to believe that Jesus is alive and well if he's going to make any difference in your life and what you believe and who you are in Christ. So it's all about who Jesus is and what he had to say to me after that resurrection, what he did after that resurrection. You know, he could have came forth out of that tomb and just went on back to heaven and said, well, I paid the price, I came out. But he didn't do that. He didn't leave the disciples in a lurch, did he? He didn't leave them wondering and doubting and saying, well, what really happened here? Did he really rise from the grave? As I said last week, you know, it was amazing to think about how the angels told Mary Magdalene and other Mary and told them, you know, said, he's not here. He is risen, like he told you he was going to do. But yet it didn't just leave it at that. But what happened? Jesus appeared unto them. So, you know, the angels, what the angels said, Jesus proved it to them by appearing unto them. See, Jesus never leaves us in the lurch, folks. He never leaves us without us understanding and knowing the whole truth. He's not going to just leave you wondering. Because see, the Bible says very plain, what? God is not the author of confusion. He don't want you confused. He wants you to understand. He wants you to know about what's going on and who Jesus is. And so it's that Jesus after the resurrection that means so much to us. We picked up this story this morning after he had walked with the two men on the road to Emmaus. Now, we've all heard that sermon, and we know how that these two men really didn't understand what was happening, and Jesus walks with them, goes home with them, and finally their eyes are open, and he disappears from them, and they go and they tell the disciples. So this is where it picks up. They just got through telling the disciples all that they had seen and how that Jesus ate bread and was with them, and we see the disciples really don't believe it, do they? They really don't believe it. We talked about that last week. So this morning I want us to look at four different things that I see that Jesus did after the resurrection that proves that he is Christ, the things that he did that we need today, that we need in our lives if we're going to see the resurrected Jesus and really believe in him, the things that we need. Well, the first thing we're going to see is how he brought peace to them. They didn't have any peace. Number two is we see that he rebuked their doubt. He says, why are you doubting? Oh, you little faith, why are you doubting? Number three, he opens their understanding of the scriptures. They finally really understood the scriptures. And then lastly, he offers redemption. He offers redemption. So let's look at these four things this morning as we think about Jesus after the resurrection, as we think about what he did and what he said. Let's look at the first one. First thing that I said is that he brought peace. Look there in verse 36 once again. He says that as they were talking and the men from the Emmaus wrote to the Emmaus and told them, it says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, what? Peace be unto thee. You know, when he appears unto the women, he says, what? Be not afraid. Have peace. Do not be afraid. Have peace in your life. In verse 37, it says they were what? Terrified and affrighted and supposed that he had what? Seen a spirit. And then he said to them, what? Why are you so troubled? Why are you so troubled? Why are you having so much trouble? You know, today as we look around, what's going on around us in the world that we live in today, It really makes us wonder what's going to happen in this world, does it not? I've never seen such a time that we wonder about peace. Every time that I listen to the radio or listen to the news, I don't know if you've been listening to it, but we see that all the world powers are ganging up against Americans right now. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but that world, one world order is really moving into place right now. We see with the meeting that's coming up in Geneva, we see with our nation moving the way to put all of our health care under the World Health Care Organization. We better wake up. China's going to be ruling over it, but it's just not that. We see that all these European nations are coming together, Russia and China, all these are coming together to remove the, you know, our currency, the dollar. It's the world, it's the security of all the world right now. They're trying to do away with that. They're trying to go to a one money, and most of it's going to be a no money. It's going to be something electronically and everything that they'll use electronics to for your money. You won't have any cash. They're just about going that way now. And I had an instance happen to me one morning. I was headed over to Hattiesburg going to a surgery. I had a person having a surgery over there, It was real early in the morning, so I got to Tylertown. I said, well, I'll just whoop in the drive-through here at the McDonald's, and I'll pick me up some breakfast, get me an Egg McMuffin. So I went through the drive-through, and when I got up there, it said before I ordered, we're not taking cash, only card transactions this early. I said, ma'am? He said, we are not taking cash, only a card is all we'll use. Well, I don't have a card. And I said, you mean to tell me you won't take cash? No, we can't take cash this early in the morning. Only card transaction. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? That's where we're going to, folks. We're going to one world order. We're going to a time that people around the world are going to be controlling what we're doing. You're not going to have any paper money or any coins. You're going to have a card or some kind of identity, and they take it immediately out of your account. They're going to be controlling it all. These are trying times. When we look at that what's happening when you can have a young lady that is an Olympic swimmer, and she says, I don't want to shower with some guy that thinks he's a woman. I don't want to compete against some guy that says, you know, he is a woman. You know, he's beating her, and then one time they tied, and they gave the trophy to him because because he's politically correct, and they wanted to make a big to-do out of it. And then when she goes and protests, it's what happened. People attack her. She has to stay locked up in a room for 3 hours till the protesters leave before she could even leave the college. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is a time of unrest. This is a time that we see no peace. But listen to me. Jesus brings peace. The resurrected Savior can bring peace. The world was in an uproar after his crucifixion. The disciples saw all that was going on. There was lies being told, you know, about that his body had been stolen by his disciples. There was a persecution that was going to be happening. It was going to cause a great time of conflict and hurt and anger. And yet what? Jesus says, peace I bring to you. Peace I bring to you. You know, their world had just collapsed around them. Their world had just been stopped around them because they thought Jesus was coming to set up an earthly kingdom. He's going to go in and throw the Romans out, and we're going to rule with him. But when he died on the cross, all their hope was crushed before their eyes. But what they didn't know is that on that third day, their hope would be proved because they could find peace because they had a resurrected Savior. He says in John chapter 20, verse 19, and he says, and from this day of point, the doors were shut, and Jesus came in. And what did he say? Fear not, for Jesus can what? He will bring peace unto you. He's going to bring that peace. The doors were shut. Nobody else could get in. And yet he appears. They were hiding from the Jews. They were afraid. They were going to be persecuted and even killed. And then Jesus came and says, peace be unto you. Well, Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep you, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God that passes all understanding. It can't be understood, can it? It can't be understood to think about the peace that God gives us. that in times of turmoil throughout the Bible, we see instance after instance after instance when people were outnumbered. We see times where people were being thrown in the lion's den. They were put in a fire furnace. We see people that were being persecuted, people that had been beaten and put in prison. And what did they do? They sang hymns and praises to God. Isn't that amazing when you think about these things that happened, that people could have such a peace? Because why? Because the resurrected Lord brings peace to what? Your hearts and to your minds. You know, most of us, we lose our peace in our mind before we do in our heart, right? You know, the devil can get in your mind and he can get you to getting into your mind, and he starts making you doubt. Then he can remove your peace and he can defeat you. And we have to be careful about our minds. We have to keep our minds set on the goal that Jesus is our peace. And so that brings us to the second thing. Not only did he bring peace, but we see that he rebuked their doubt. Look at that verse 38 once again. He says, "Why are you troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your hearts?" So see, there it is once again, that God brings peace where? To our hearts and our minds. So we see Jesus understands our hearts and our minds. Jesus knows exactly what's in our hearts and what is in our mind. He knows our thoughts. You've heard me say this a lot of times in sermons, that Jesus knows our thoughts, that our thoughts are even words unto him, and he understands what we're thinking. And so Jesus, they didn't have to say a word, but when he looked at them, he saw how afraid they were. He saw how they were terrified. And then he said, "Why are you troubled? Why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Why are these things happening to you? Why are you doubting me?" You remember the story in John chapter 20 and beginning there in verse 24 with what we call Paul Doubting Thomas. You know, he kind of got nicknamed that. I think it's kind of bad that we do that to him just because he wasn't there at the first sighting of Jesus. And he said, "You know, I got to see the nail scars in his hands and in his side and in his feet. I got to feel them. I got to see them." And Jesus appears. And what did Jesus do? He says, "Feel them. Here they are, Thomas. Feel them." See, Jesus wants to rebuke doubt in your heart and mind. He wants to remove that doubt in your heart and mind. People are still doubting even today. Once Denise was traveling with some our friends, and some of them were Buddhists, and they took her to a Buddhist temple. She just wanted to kind of see it. And there was the Buddhist priest and several of them in there. And one of the men there said, "We were talking about the resurrection of Jesus," and she was witnessing to him at the thing. Isn't that great? And one of the guys said to her, "Well, the Bible says, you know, that the soldier said that the disciples stole Jesus' body, that he really didn't rise from the grave." She said, "No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they paid the soldiers to lie about it and say that Jesus." See, a lot of people, brothers and sisters, they doubt because they believe the lies of the world. But we see that Jesus removes that doubt. He removes that doubt, and he gives us an understanding of it. He removes our fear. He gives us peace. We're not to be terrified and frightened, but we're supposed to be out there sharing the gospel. But notice what he went on to say in verse 39. He says, "Behold my hands and my feet. Is it not I myself?" In other words, don't you see it's me? Handle me. See, I'm not just a spirit. See, there was a lot of people who doubted who would say things like this. They would say, "Well, Jesus raised from the dead, but he only did it in spiritual form." You know, like we're going to do one day. One day we're going to go up to heaven. Our spirit's going to leave this old world for a while, and our old bodies is going to be decaying there in that tomb. But listen, Jesus literally rose from the grave physically, not just spiritually, physically. His physical body came forth out of that grave. But see, they didn't want to believe that. They doubted that. And so he tells them, he says, "Here, feel my hands. Feel me. Don't you feel the bones?" In other words, give me something to eat. So they gave him what? They gave him some broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he sat there and he ate with them. See, brothers and sisters, Jesus wants to remove all doubt from your mind this morning. He rebukes that doubt. He says, "Why are you doubting? Why are you troubled? Why are you in such doubt? Believe in me that I am the resurrected Savior." Then let's notice the third thing that happens. We see that he does what? He opens their understanding of the scriptures. He opens their understandings of the scriptures. Look down in verse 45 once again. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So notice here what happens. He says that he opened their understanding. See, unless you understand the resurrected Jesus, then none of the rest of the Bible ain't make sense. I mean, there's no point to it. If Jesus did not come forth out of that grave, and he did not come forth in human and fleshly form, become the Savior of the world because he conquered death, he conquered the grave. If we don't understand Jesus, we don't understand the resurrection, then the rest of it doesn't make any sense anyway. We don't need any of it anyway. When John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and through the Word all things were created. When Jesus was there in the beginning of that creation, when God says, let us make man in our own image, we see that Jesus was there, and he planned throughout that time, it was God's plan that Jesus would die for the sins of the world. We looked at last Wednesday night, Psalms chapter 22. You need to read that, where David is a prophet and he talks about us about five different things that Jesus said on the cross, that happened to Jesus on the cross, that David prophesied was going to happen in Psalms 22. Hundreds of years before, isn't it amazing? That the same words that Jesus used there on the cross, David prophesied those things. See, we don't really understand the scriptures until we understand the resurrected Savior. We have to understand the resurrected Savior. We have to know him. So notice some of the things that he says here that we just read. He says, first of all, that it is written what? First thing that we got to understand about the scriptures is that it behooved Christ to suffer and to die. In other words, it was necessary. The resurrected Savior tells us, he said, it was necessary for me to die. Now, we talked about that last week. How did he pray? If there's any other way, remove this cup. But we have to believe and we have to understand that it was necessary for these things to happen, for him to die and to come forth out of that grave. The other thing that we need to understand about the scriptures is what? That the prophets foretold, even Moses, the law, the prophets, the psalm. We just talked about Psalms 22. But he said in verse 27, he says that we are to preach then in his name, the resurrected Savior. What we need to understand about the scriptures is that we must preach what? First of all, he says repentance, and then what? Remission of sins. In other words, to understand the scriptures, the way that we come to salvation is through repentance. We have to repent of our sins. If we will repent of our sins, then what did he say? God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to remove those sins as far as the east is from the west, to give us remission of those sins. He says these are to be preached to all nations, beginning where? In Jerusalem. We remember that great commission that he told in Matthew 28, 18 through 21, to go and to teach and to baptize all nations, beginning where? Beginning in Judea and Jerusalem, and then going where? Unto the uttermost parts of the world, to Samaria, even into those places that we think are unworthy. We need to go to all those because, see, this is what Jesus is opening our understanding to the scripture is. If we understand the resurrected Savior, if we understand how that Jesus gave his life and paid the price for our sins, then he says what? Then we are to be the witnesses of these things. Did you see that in that last part of that verse in which we read there? In last verse there in verse 48. And ye are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses. I'm a witness of these things. So when we see Jesus after the resurrection, If we have found that peace that he gives us, that he brought to us by being raised from the dead, that passes all understanding. If we have rebuked our doubt and removed our doubt, and we have no doubt in our minds who Jesus is and that he is alive and well, he says, then we are to be witnesses of those things, and we are to preach and teach remission of sin through repentance, that people have to repent of their sins because Jesus paid the price for our sins there on the cross. But are we being that witness? Are we being that witness? Why are we not witnessing? Is it because we don't believe it enough? Is that why? Is it because we really don't believe that Jesus came forth out of that grave? We really don't believe that he is the Savior of the world? If we really believe in the resurrected Savior, then he commanded us to go and to preach and to teach and to be the witnesses that we are to be. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. I know just this week and just my travels around and just meeting different people, I know I talk to people all the time about the Lord, and it's so refreshing when you find people who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But brothers and sisters, I'm running into more and more people who never go to church, who say, I don't go to church. I'm not a part of church. I don't believe in the Lord. I've never been to church. Isn't it amazing? Isn't that amazing? Right here in Pike County, in the Bible Belt of the South, and then to have people who say, I really never go to church. I'm not a part of a church. I don't go to church. Well, you know, going to church is not going to save you. But brothers and sisters, how are you going to hear about Jesus if you don't go to church? How are you going to come to know him? How are you going to worship him? How are you going to become a part of the body of Christ? You need a church home. And we invite you this morning, if you don't have a church home, if you don't know Jesus, then you come to know Jesus today. And you come to West Macomb Baptist Church. And we'd love to have you. We'd love to share Jesus with you. Well, let's look at the last thing. We see, first of all, we looked at what? How that he brought peace. How that he removed and rebuked the doubt that they had. He opened their understandings of the scriptures, and then he offered what we're going to look at lastly is that he offered redemption. He offers redemption to each and every one of us. Repent of your sins and you will have remission of sin. He will give you redemption. Time to repent and to turn from those wicked ways. Well, we see the wonderful story of that after his resurrection found in John chapter 21. It's in the story we know of Peter. You remember how that Peter denied Christ, what, three times? Jesus had told him. Peter had made the statement, I will follow you even unto death. I will follow you. And other disciples, yeah, that's right. That's right. We'll go. Well, when they hauled Jesus off to trial and they arrested him, what happened? Well, all the disciples dispersed. They went their own ways and they hid with fear, what we talked about a while ago, the fear that they had. They were afraid of the Jews. But we see that Jesus brought what? Peace to them. And Peter, he follows along. And he goes to the trial, and what happens? Jesus had told him, said, Peter, you're not going to be able to follow me. You're going to deny me three times before the cock will crow in the morning. And Peter said, oh, no, no, I won't. But what happens? He goes to the trial. First time somebody looks at him and says, hey, you one of them followers of Jesus? No, I'm not. A little good woman there says, oh, yeah, you are. I know you one of them Galileans. You've been following. No, 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 I'm not. And finally, he gets so upset when somebody points him out and says, yeah, we know you are. We were there when you cut off Malchus's ear. We were there. People don't forget something like that when you cut off a fella's ear and Jesus sticks it back on. And what Peter, oh, no. And the Bible says he even cursed. And when he did this, what happened? The cock crew. And when the cock crowed that morning, he looked and it says Jesus looked upon him, didn't say a word. And he ran out weeping and sobbing because he had done exactly what Jesus told him would do. Well, when Jesus is resurrected, can you imagine how Peter must have felt when Jesus died on the cross? Have you ever had someone die in your family and maybe you was at odds with them and you never got it right? You never straightened it out and it was too late. They had died. Maybe you had said something in anger to them or something and you never asked for their forgiveness. You never got it straightened out, and then they died, and you never could go back. Because, see, that's the way Peter must have felt, don't you think? Don't you think when Jesus died on that cross and he had rejected him, denied him those three times, don't you think that he probably in his heart said, man, if I just had one more day, I could have told him how sorry I was. Well, guess what? Jesus came forth out of that grave, and he offered redemption to Peter. And we're together with the disciples once again. They'd been fishing. We know they come to the bank. They're sitting around, and Jesus looks at Peter, and what did he say? He says, Peter, do you love me more than these? More than these? Now, he could have been talking about all the fishing equipment and everything. He could talk about all the other disciples. And what did Peter say? Yes, Lord, I love you. He says, feed my sheep. Then he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. He says, well, then feed my sheep. Then he asked him the third time. Isn't that amazing? How many times did he deny him? He denied him three. He asked him the third time. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? And what did Peter say? Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. You know all things, and you know that I love you. And once again, Jesus says, feed my sheep. Do you see the redemption story here? Do you see how that Jesus gave him opportunity to prove his love and to say, yes, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm sorry I messed up. I'm sorry I did exactly what you said. See, the resurrected Lord this morning, brothers and sisters, wants to offer you redemption. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I love you. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. He wants to open your understanding this morning to the Scriptures, so that you can understand how that it behooved Christ to suffer and die. He wants to remove all doubt from your heart and your mind this morning that he is the Savior. And then he wants to do what? He wants to give you the peace that passeth all understanding, that passes all understanding, if only you will accept him as your Savior this morning. That's the Jesus after the resurrection. That's what he offers you today. Won't you accept it? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the resurrected Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to just speak to our hearts now. Lord, if there's anyone that is lost, that they'll come to accept you today. Open their understanding. Give them that peace. Give them that redemption that they need today. Remove any doubt that you are the resurrected Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.